May peace fill our hearts and minds and our Christmas and Advent as we hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, and he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins, and the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den, and they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord. And this reading from another prophet, John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a belt, a leather belt, around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized, all of them, by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up the children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to even carry his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this second Sunday of Advent, for an Advent where we think and pray and hope for peace. We want that peace now, today. We want it tomorrow. We want it to be there as we grow older, as life changes around us. Send us that insurpassable peace that nurtures us in heart and mind and gives us hope. and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want you to imagine, just for a moment, I want you to imagine that John the Baptist shows up on Christmas Eve at the 5 o'clock service. That's when the children's pageant happens. Lynn, you're in charge of that service, right? Just imagine all this happening. John the Baptist shows up 5 o'clock Christmas Eve. The children are just starting to march down the aisle here. They're getting around the chairs there. Sorry about that. The shepherds, the donkeys, the sheep, they're all coming down here. They're making their way up. They look so cute. When suddenly this man bursts through the back doors, he has hairy leathers all over his body, a tangly beard. He walks up, he starts knocking people over. He runs up to the front, he knocks this font out of the way like it's a piece of kindling or something. Gets up here in front and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming." It's a Christmas Eve train wreck, isn't it? Can you imagine? Here he comes. A grandparent has driven all the way from Baltimore to take a picture of their granddaughter, that little granddaughter Angel, standing up here on the front steps. She's a preschooler. She's got a clothes hanger wing sticking out her back, a beautiful kind of starry host in her curly hair. She's ready to smile when all of a sudden this guy with bugs hanging off his beard, locusts hanging off his beard, kind of a big oversized belt, knocks her over and looks into that grandparent's camera and says, "You brood of vipers." You know, right after that event, there would be an emergency session meeting, I think. Heads would have to roll after that. A little later in the story, John the Baptist's head does roll, but that's another story. So, heads would have to roll. Who invited this guy? How did he get into this Christmas pageant? Lynn, how did he get here? Hope you're not planning him to get in here, okay? A nightmare. How did he get here? And just as the grand finale, right? The grand finale is when Mary and Joseph come down the center aisle. She's cradling last year's American Girl doll in her hands. And I don't know what that name is, but she's cradling it, walking down here. There's a 9-year-old boy dressed in his dad's bathrobe is there too. And he's being Joseph. It looks so cute, but all is lost. Because now the ushers, who've been trained for just this sort of thing, by the way, they come racing in, they grab John the Baptist by his shoulders, they take him out, they throw him out the front doors. And Jonathan starts to play the organ louder, by the way, because he plays it louder to kind of hush those cat calls that we can hear coming through the walls. We hear him out on the outside of the walls. He cries from out there, "I baptize you with water." The organ raises up on away in the manger or something. "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and that person will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Wow. What a Christmas pageant. Amazing. And yet, in some ways, John the Baptist shows up to do this every year to us. Every year. We're just getting ready for, Christmas. We're decorating the living room with holly and greenery and finery and twinkly lights. We're planning lessons and carols. We're making travel plans. We're decorating the house when suddenly John the Baptist invades our personal space. Here he is, knocking over children in the Christmas pageant, denouncing everyone's Christmas cheer. And yet, what's strange to me about this text, about this story, is that he is so popular. Did you read the text? Did you hear that? Everyone is flocking to him like he's some kind of rock star. Amazing. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they all of them, Pharisees, Sadducees, the rich, the poor, those who adored him, those who hated him, all of them were baptized by John in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Why is he so popular? Everyone's coming to see him. It struck me this week that part of the reason, at least I think, part of the reason I think that he is so popular and that his kind of in-your-face message kind of resonates with the crowds is that John dreams of a more compassionate and just society, more just and more compassionate than the one they're living in. He has this dream, this future hope, and because he may be coarse and a little uncouth in some ways, but he has this passionate, fervent dream. He won't let go of it, and because of that, people are drawn to him like a magnet. John proclaims that the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and the implication of this is that when that tree is cut down and hauled away for lumber and to build houses, and only a stump remains, maybe an ugly stump, just wait. A tiny shoot of green will come out of that stump. It will take root and it will spring forth and it will be a sign that things are going to turn around. But don't wait, John the Baptist says. Don't wait, John the Baptist prophesies. Don't wait around for the future just to show up your doorstep. Do something today. Discover that hope right now and you'll see it happen in the future. Start dreaming now. If you leave today with any other message, you might remember the Great Dane story for the rest of your life. But if you leave today, if you just go away with one thought, my thought to you is start dreaming now. James Boyce, retired New Testament professor from Luther Seminary, writes this: "Each generation learns to dream the visions that are taught by those who have dreamed before and by those who are able to keep dreaming in the present. And so begins a dream not just about what is, but about what might be." Start dreaming now. You know what James Boyce says to me? James Boyce says this: our current reality may not be what we want it to be. We may come today and we may not feel like the stars are aligning for us. We may come to this place this morning feeling a little disappointed. Maybe we got the short end of the stick. Maybe we just feel like we just can't imagine hoping or another kind of future out there. John the Baptist and James Boyce say this: this does not give you permission to stop dreaming. Because of what you are currently experiencing, because of current disappointment or bumps in the road, this does not give you permission to stop dreaming of new realities, of new possibilities, just over there on the horizon. You know, all my life, it seems, all my life, you can tell I'm a dreamer, right? All my life, whenever I have shared my dreams with someone, my sense of the future, my hope in the future, I've gotten basically the same advice, something like this: Ken, wake up and smell the coffee. That's what people say to me. They say, you know, how can you be so naive? Or can't you just get your feet on the ground? Or you're not living in the real world. Or this one: Ken, you're crazy. Now, actually, somebody told me that one time. I was leaving my job. I was a professor for 3 years teaching communication studies. I was leaving that position and going to be a pastor in San Jose, California. So I stopped into one of my other professor's offices, a chemistry professor. I said to her, you know, I'm leaving. Just wanted to let you know I'm going to be a pastor in San Jose, California. She said to me, you know, I think you're crazy. And looking back to her words in those times, I've realized that when people start to say such things to me, I am on to something good. I am on the right path. Don't ever tell me I'm crazy. I think I'll say, that's a sign I need to go do that. I'm on the right path. Certainly, I would not be here in Virginia if I stopped dreaming. Take a deep breath and let it out. Listen for what God is saying to you in your life this morning. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you, and then listen to these words from a dreamer. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Take time. Take time to dream. 'Twas the night before Christmas. I think you might know this one. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. You know, the problem with John is that he makes such a clatter. He's a clattering kind of prophet. He makes such a clatter. Just when we're settling in for a long winter's nap, here comes this guy yelling, screaming, bugs in his beard, knocking over children in the Advent pageant, coming into our Christmas and Advent. Just when we've maybe eaten too many sugar plums, and we're on a sugar high, and our brains are a little foggy, he throws cold water in our face. He invites us to be baptized. He invites us to dream and have a vision, not of what is, but of what might be. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, he calls every year. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.